Going to turn to Matthew, the third chapter. We'll be looking, taking our text from there today. I want to bring you greetings from Victory Baptist Church in Cortland, Virginia. It's good to be back at the church I used to be a member of. Lord blessed us to allow us to be a part of Grace Baptist Church for some years before he called us up to Cortland to pastor the church there. Thank you for the privilege of coming and the opportunity to stand before you. I'm only going to read part of a verse to start with right here, but don't close your Bible when I do that. I'm prone to go right back. So, and the third verse, the third chapter in the seventh verse of the book of Matthew, the last part of that verse says, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you at this time, Lord, and I look to you for any sufficiency that I need, Lord. You've promised to be with us. So, Lord, I look to you, knowing that you're able to do all things. And so, I'm depending on you. Lord, you open our hearts and our minds and our understandings. Give me the words that I need to speak. Especially, Lord, help us to see what we need to see here, because there's something that we need to see, each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before I get started, I do want to say something here, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's sermon or redo anybody's sermon, but as I was thinking about this, Brother Sam talked last night, talked about staying up at night. And I was awake all the night last night thinking about things. And I want to, and this has some relevancy to my sermon, but I want to say something here. I want you to think about this. The Arminians, when they come and they preach, they're looking to man and say, "Man, you can do it." The hard shell knows that man is dead. Arminian thinks he failed. The hard shell thinks he's dead. And he looks at him and says, "You can't do it." A sovereign gracer knows that man is dead, but he knows that his God is able. And so he looks to his God, believing his God, takes the gospel of God, and goes to them in belief, in faith, and preaches the gospel to them. That's the difference between us and a hard shell. We quit looking at the dead man and look to the living God. And that's, we need to understand that. And if you see these things, it will change you. Here, to give you some of the setting right here, this is John the Baptist speaking early in his ministry. He had gone out preaching. He was a man sent from God. And he went out preaching, and you'll notice this was his message. And if you know your Bible, you know exactly the same message as what our Lord started out with. In the second verse, it says, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he comes out, and he starts his whole message right there. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I would like to emphasize something about this. This is not an invitation. This is a command. He's God's man, and he has a message from God, and the message is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so down the seventh verse, you go on and read that, for because of the constraints on time, I'm going to move on down, but seventh verse says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." When John the Baptist went out preaching, all come out to hear him. The saved, the lost, the self-righteous, Sadducees and Pharisees, they all come out. And he baptized many of them, but when the Pharisees and Sadducees come out, he wouldn't baptize them because there had been nothing, no change in their life. But he does warn them here, and we do have a warning. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This has been the call of God's men throughout all ages, telling men to turn from the wrath to come. There is a wrath to come. I want everyone to hear me today. And I'm talking to everyone too. John the Baptist didn't exclude the self-righteous of that day, the Pharisees, and I'll not exclude any of y'all. Hear me, there is a wrath to come. Now, if you have not and you do not flee that wrath, it will be terrible. There is such a thing as a wrath of God. And John the Baptist spoke of that. From the time of Adam's rebellion in the Garden of Eden, all mankind has been found guilty before God. You know, when I say all mankind, I'm talking to each one of you. There's not a one of you excluded. You're all been found guilty before God. And that's a fearful thing. Condemned by God and therefore subject to the everlasting fires of hell away from God. Romans 3:10 says this, for all, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:25 says, for the wages of sin is death. We're all find ourselves in that group. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. An eternal death away from God. That's the wages of sin. And God is a righteous, holy, and just God. He is a law-giving God. And a law-keeping God. God's law, as all law does, carries penalties for those who violate it. As a law is necessary to government, penalty for violation of the law is necessary for the maintenance of law and government. You know, there's a group out there today who want to break all our laws and doesn't think there should be laws. You no longer have government if you don't have laws. God has His government. God has His laws. God demands that you keep His laws. And if you don't, there's a penalty. Concerning God's law, the Bible proclaims that we all have broken it and that we therefore are condemned, subject to the penalty of God's law. I hope we all understand this. Take it personally, because I'm speaking to you personally. And so this is why John called them to repentance. Because they were sinners, breaking the laws of God. Colossians 3:5, to further my subject here about the wrath of God, Colossians 3:5-6 says this, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. It just means evil desires. We all have them, by the way. There's none of us surely would deny that we don't have some evil desires. It's sin. And covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake, or because of these things, because of these sins, the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. What did they disobey? They disobeyed God's law. What's a penalty? They're under condemnation and subject to the wrath of God. So the question is, what is the wrath of God? I like what R.A. Torrey says about it. He says it's the intense and settled displeasure of God. It's God's anger being poured out upon those who have broken God's law by their sin. This is what you're subject to. You say, I'm not a bad sinner. The thing is not whether if you're a bad sinner, but if you're a sinner. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all fall in this group. And because of this, the wrath of God comes upon us there. There are some examples in the Bible that we can see for a moment. The wrath of God. You all know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord was upset with them because of their evil ways there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so He sent down fire and brimstone. There you have a small picture of the wrath of God. None survived in that except Lot and his family because the angels come and told him to flee. No one that stayed there, no one that did not flee, survived God's wrath. Another picture of that would be the flood. God saw the wickedness of man. It repented him that he had made man. He said, I will destroy man. And when he sent the flood waters, it would make Texas look like desert. Everything was covered. Everybody was destroyed. Everything that had breath in their nostrils was destroyed, except for Noah and his family who got into the ark. 8 souls were saved out of billions on the earth. You see a picture of God's wrath, how severe it can be. But I tell you, there's a stronger picture yet that we've had in history of God's wrath. I want you to consider the Son of God. Look on Mount Calvary when He was taken up there and hung on the cross. When He was there and He was hanging on the cross, have you considered what went on there? Have you considered this? There's no being, has never been any being, in heaven or earth or any other place, that God the Father loved more than what He loved His Son. And yet we see His Son hanging on the cross there. What had He done? He had done nothing wrong. He had done absolutely nothing wrong. You ask, well, why is He hanging on the cross? Because He was made sin. He was made sin for us. And being made sin, He was going to suffer the wrath of God. Now understand this, though Jesus was greatly loved and had done no personal wrong, yet, when He was made sin and the law condemned Him, God the Father does not spare Him, but pours out His wrath upon Jesus. Justice demanded this. God did this. Now, those of you who think you might escape God's wrath, consider He would not spare His own Son. But poured His wrath out upon Him there. What hope do you have of escaping His wrath? We're all sinners. I want you to consider another, and maybe we'll spend a minute or two here. In Luke 16, you might want to turn there, you might not. You know the story. There was one rich man who died. He died in his sins. He did not have a Savior. And when he died, it simply says, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Not torment, but torments. There he was in flames. He was in a fire that burned and burned and burned, but never consumed him. It just tormented him. So much so that he begged Abraham to send Lazarus. Said, Lazarus, send Lazarus. I just want one drop of water to fall on my tongue. What relief that would be. And Abraham says, No. You see, the wrath of God had fell on him, and there will be no relief when the wrath of God falls upon you. He was tormented in body. He was tormented in soul. He was tormented in his conscience. Abraham sort of rubbed it in a little bit, I think. He said, son, remember, you'll spend all eternity in hell under the wrath of God, and God will not let you forget one thing that you've ever done against His law. He'll not let you forget that you sat here today and heard this message about His wrath, and you did nothing. If you end up in hell, that means you did nothing, right? And that will bother you forever and forever and forever and forever. And if I need to, I'll add some more forevers there so that you can understand. There will be no end to the torment. There will be no end. God's wrath will never be satisfied. When He pours it out on you, it is settled on you. You know, it's something that I love from God's Word. It talks about God has set His love upon me. You know, He's placed it, He has set it there. And no one can take it off. What shall separate you from the love of God? Nothing. You know, He names, oh, the Apostle Paul names a lot in the 8th chapter of Romans. And you can't find anything that's not included in that list. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But if you go to hell, there's nothing that can separate you from the wrath of God either. I want to put the fear of God in you. Does this bother you? It bothers me. I know people that I'm sure are in hell that I should have went to, and I did not. And I know what the penalty of that is, and that bothers me. That bothers me, and it ought to bother every one of you. His blood is on me, and the Lord will require that of me. So consider some of these things right here. That's what John the Baptist was warning them about, the wrath of God. God's law and justice demands that there be a punishment for our sin. And the punishment is the wrath of God. You spend an eternity in hell. God's word tells of it. God's messengers throughout every age have warned of it. And every soul that died outside of Christ is experiencing it. You know, it was some 2,000 years ago when our Lord spoke about this one being in hell. You know where He is today? He's still there. Still wanting that one drop of water. Oh, how wonderful that would be. But you know something else? He's lost. He's lost all hope. Have you ever been without hope? That's a miserable condition to be in. And if you wake up in hell, lift up your eyes in hell, you've done checked hope in at the door. You can't take hope with you there. The love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, and His hope and His peace, they'll not be found there. What you'll find is the wrath of God on you, and that heavy. But I want you to note in our text, there's hope in that text right there. He says, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You see, he says there is a place we can flee. And that's our good news. Amen. We don't speak about these things. You know, we don't like speaking about these things no more than what you like hearing about. It bothers our soul to think about things like this. It puts a heavy burden on the preacher to talk about things like this. Yeah. Now, if it doesn't, I wonder about you. I don't even like to think about this. But we're commanded to. It's my obligation. If I'm God's man, I'm supposed to do this. The reason why I'm supposed to do this is so you would be awakened to your need, to the danger that you're in. There is a wrath to come for those who do not turn to the Lord. But right here he says, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I told you about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord sent some angels there to talk to Lot and his family. And he spoke to Lot and his family. Some of the family would not come out. Some of them, when Lot talked to them, they thought he was just foolish. As you probably think I am today, a lot of you. Listen to him up yonder. I understand that. I also understand your need. But Lot and some of his family did flee, and they were saved. And our text tells us to flee from the wrath to come. There is a way to flee from the wrath to come. In Noah's day, the Lord had told him to build an ark. And when the time come, the Lord says, Noah, come into the ark. You know? And by the way, that wasn't an invitation either. That was a command. Noah, you come into the ark. And Noah and his family come into the ark, and they escaped the wrath of God there. And I'm telling you today, there is a place to flee. There is a way of escape. But there's only one way to escape there. God himself has provided a way of escape, and that being his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Must be saved. In John 1:29, this same John the Baptist here pointed at the Savior of the world one day. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why is the wrath of God on you? Because of your sin. What is your greatest need? Is that your sin would be taken away. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's no works that you can do to take away your sins. There's nothing you can do. It's not of you. But here's one who does take away sin. Jesus was sent by God the Father to be our substitute, to bear the sins and to endure the wrath due unto us who believe in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells about that substitute. He says, for he, God the Father, has made him, Jesus the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? I would challenge you. I would ask you. I would, you know, when you're reading your Bible where it says that, it's explaining why a lot of times. So I'll start over. Because there's a that in this, and I want you to hear it. For he has made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He came as a substitute. He was hanging on the cross there as my substitute. And God poured out his wrath on him because he looked at him and he saw Chris Wallace there. And he says, you deserve to die. You deserve the wrath of God. And he poured it out without mercy. He poured it out on my substitute there. Wave after wave of the wrath of God. It was so severe to where he blotted out the sun. He wouldn't let anybody else look. And for some 3 hours it come on him. And come on him, and come on him. If he would not have been the eternal Son of God, he could not have yet absorbed all the wrath that was due. But being the eternal Son of God, he could, and he did. And as some were in that time, you can hear him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why God the Father forsook him? Because he was made sin for us. And being made sin, God had to forsake him. Justice demanded it. And a just and holy God carried out the sentence that was right. He was standing in my place. He took my sin, my wrath, and God punished him. He did not spare him. He will not spare you. The only way of escape is to run to the one who is the substitute. And we say what we say all this way so that we can bring you to the gospel. Because there is good news, and that's what the gospel is. There is good news, friends. Though you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, though the wages of sin is death, and though if you carry on in this way and you never receive him, the wrath of God will be poured out upon you, wrath that you cannot bear. You cannot bear it. And what's God going to do when he sees you cannot bear it? He's going to keep on pouring it on. There will be no relief. There will be no mercy. And there will be no end when you find yourself in that place. Lot fled. Noah got into the ark, which is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to flee and to escape. We're to repent, first of all. You know what we all do? And there's a lot of you sitting there doing this right now. You're saying, no, I'll get by. No, I'll be okay. Come the end of my day, then I'll receive him as my Savior. You know what you're doing? You're trusting in yourself. And you need to repent of that. And I'll tell you, repent. Repent. And flee to Jesus. In him is redemption. In him is salvation. In him is safety. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In a nutshell, that's the gospel. We all know that he died. We all know that he was buried. We all know that he rose again the third day. What I don't know is, have you put your trust and your faith in what he did for you? Are you still dependent on yourself that you might escape this? Friends, there's no escape outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Bible says repent, I'm telling you, as God's messenger, he's not inviting you to repent. He's commanding you to repent. And if you do not repent, you're disobeying God even more. He says, believe. He's not inviting you to believe. He's commanding you to believe in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's other places in the Bible, Ezekiel, the 18th chapter and the 33rd chapter is done this way. It says, turn ye, turn ye. And then he asked the question, oh, why will you die? Why will you persist in this and not come to the one Savior that there is in this world? Ask yourself this, those back yard who want to close your ears up now and don't want to listen to this. Why? Why? Would you rather face God with your sins upon you? Or would you rather face God with the righteousness of Christ upon you? It will not bode well for you if you stand there in your sins. The wrath of God will be poured out upon you. And again he says, come. Another command. Again he says, call upon the Lord. Another command. We're commanded to be ye reconciled unto the Lord. All commands. And you either heed them or you're laying up wrath against the day of wrath. It will only be worse for you if you don't. There's a promise in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world." We got a couple of that's in there. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, so I'm sending my Son. I love you. I send my Son." Well, what good does that do? Well, let's go on. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." What does it mean to perish? You open up your eyes in hell being in torments and you will know what perish is. Always lost. "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life."
Yes.
I call upon you. I call upon each one of you. Come and do what God has told you to do. You repent. You believe. You turn from your own self-righteousness and your own ways and your own sin. And you turn unto Him. You flee unto Him. Be ye reconciled unto the Lord. Come unto Him. Call upon His name. There's none that come unto Him that He will reject. We're commanded to go ye into all the world. And here we are today. This is a part of the world. And this is my message from God to you. Jesus Christ is a sweet Savior. And He receives all who come to Him. In John 3:16, there's a very wide open invitation, if you will. Really a command. It says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." Can you fall in that category? Whosoever believeth in Him. No. That's pretty wide. But there's another pretty wide one over in Revelation, the 20th chapter. "Whosoever's name is not written in the book of life, they shall be cast into the lake of fire." You belong to one or the other of the whosoever's listed there at this moment. Which is it? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He came here for the purpose to seek and to save those that were lost. That was His purpose. And that's still His purpose today. Will you receive Him as your Lord and Savior? Will you obey His commands? If not, John 3:36 says something that you might be interested in. Let me give you that right quick. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's precious, isn't it? "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." I like that. I like that because that's the good news. But the verse doesn't end there. Let me say this. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Could I say this? God's at more expense to hold back His wrath from you than what He would be to just let it go. And you'd be consumed by that right now. So I present it to you, even at this moment, depending on God's promises. What will it be? Will you receive Him as your Savior? Or will you sit there and say, "No, I'll take my chances with the wrath of God"? God forbid you take that.
Brother.